Strange News Daily is a production of iHeartMedia.
In a world full of bizarre events, unsolved mysteries, and a billion stories from all corners of the globe, some news gets lost in the shuffle. This is your gateway to the stories on the fringe of the mainstream map. These are your dispatches in the dark. I'm Ben Bolin, and this is the Strange News Daily. Our first story today. The president of Nicaragua has disappeared. President Daniel Ortega of Nicaragua, who has not been seen in public for over 40 days. It sounds like the beginning of a spy thriller. Unfortunately, this is a true story. Here's the timeline. The last time this 74-year-old president was seen in person was during a televised military event on February 21st of this year. He was later seen virtually on March 12th when he participated in an online conference call with heads of state from Central America's System of Integration, or SICA, to discuss the pandemic. And since then, nothing. Like most other countries, Nicaragua is also attempting to combat the spread of the coronavirus, but it's received international criticism for its lax approach. The country hasn't closed its borders. Public schools and universities remain open. Nicaragua also does not have any policy for social distancing or enforced quarantines. Dr. Carissa F. Etienne, director of the Pan American Health Organization, said her organization and WHO, that's the World Health Organization, have both raised formal and informal concerns about this with Nicaraguan authorities. Dr. Etienne says that they're ready to work with Nicaragua to ensure they are indeed responding to COVID-19 in a manner that will save lives and avoid too much illness. According to the Human Rights Watch, President Ortega is the only Latin American leader who has not made a single public announcement on how his government would address the pandemic. In his place, they note, Vice President Rosario Murillo, who is married to Ortega, told Nicaraguans to remain calm and to continue working. The government remains silent about Ortega's public absence, saying, Our commander Daniel is here working and directing, coordinating all the efforts we make, and we are and will continue to make because we have a firm compromise with the country. This was a statement made earlier this month by Vice President Murillo. We should note, this is not the first time President Ortega has disappeared from the public eye. He disappeared for several weeks in 1998 after his adopted stepdaughter accused him of abuse, a charge that he denied. Then again in 2014, he dropped off the map. His absence at this moment even prompted speculation that he might have died. Similar speculation is proliferating now, especially as the government continues to stonewall the media. The government, by the way, has not responded to any requests for comments on the reasons behind Ortega's absence, on his health, or whether he's even alive. However, insider sources, speaking on the condition of anonymity, say that Ortega is indeed alive, and that he is famously protective of his health these days. Over the years, the former guerrilla has suffered two heart attacks and developed high cholesterol, along with other ailments. The clock continues to tick. The world waits for an official explanation. Our second story today takes us to Quincy, Illinois, where Air USA owner Don Kierlin has officially become the owner of the world's most advanced private jet force. For the last 30 years, Don Kierlin has been flying for the airlines, he's been working on real estate deals, he's been setting up gigantic skydiving meets, and he's been building a private air force the likes of which even he has a hard time believing. You see, Don recently made headlines with the purchase of multiple squadrons of surplus Royal Australian Air Force, or RAAF, Hornets, F-A-18 Hornets. These are fighter jets. The Royal Australian Air Force is planning to phase these jets out by 2021, but this does not mean the fighters are obsolete. These are not Hornets in some kind of outdated configuration. In fact, the RAAF spent a ton of money keeping this legacy Hornet fleet relevant and up to date until replacements arrived. And luckily for planet Earth, Don is not planning to topple any governments or start a new career as a Bond supervillain. Instead, he's planning to use these fighter jets in simulations against U.S. fighter pilots, replicating the kind of encounters and conflicts the U.S. might face in aerial battles with other nations. The Royal Australian Air Force is planning to replace those Hornets with the F-35A Joint Strike Fighter. Of the 46 Hornet jets that Don has purchased, 36 are still in the air and flying today. Although the deal terms have not been disclosed, this purchase includes all of the spare parts for the Hornets, all of the test equipment, and that alone is valued at well over $1 billion. We should note Don's company, Air USA, does not just own F-18s. They also own other aircraft, including BA Systems Hawk, MiG-29s, Aero L-39s, L-59 Albatross, and they also own a Dassault Alpha Jet. Don revealed that the company first imported a military jet back in 1994. He also is the first-time private owner of several other military aircraft. And as you might imagine, there's some pretty complicated paperwork involved here. Don says he holds 8 separate licenses with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, known as the ATF here in the States. These licenses permit him to own military machine guns and cannons. There's no word yet on whether Don is considering renting these out for weekend thrill seekers, but hey, here's hoping. Our third story for today. Alcohol sales have spiked in the midst of the current pandemic. In fact, here in Atlanta, Georgia, in the United States, the authorities even decided that liquor stores must remain open as essential businesses. Booze has always been a big business, and business these days is booming. Since fewer people are going out and since fewer people are driving, more and more households have apparently decided to take the party home with them. But wait, what about the bars, you might ask? What about the pubs? What about the sports restaurants that bank on alcohol sales during the big game and other events? In Britain, more and more regular pub patrons are asking themselves, what happens to all the beer? Well, according to a new report, some 50 million pints of beer are expected to go unused and maybe go bad if the pandemic closures remain in effect until summer. Currently, pub owners in the UK are not allowed to sell their wares except as takeaway services or as home deliveries. Tom Stainer, chief executive of the Campaign for Real Ale, or CAMRA, laments the situation. He notes, "It's a sad waste of all the work and talent that goes into producing great beer. People won't get to drink it, and all those resources have been used up for nothing." Mr. Stainer estimates the United Kingdom's 39,000 pubs have, on average, 15 barrels of booze in their cellar at any given time. Most of these are kegs containing 11 gallons. That works out to about 88 pints each. Although many real ales, a specialized form, come in 9-gallon or 72-pint cask. The best before dates on pasteurized beer, you know, the time when it might turn and you should no longer drink it, is usually going to be about 3 to 4 months after delivery. Real ale, specifically, is a term describing beer brewed from traditional ingredients with some specific rules about fermentation and how it should be served. The best before dates for real ales and other unpasteurized beer is usually about 6 to 9 weeks after delivery. This means most stock could go to absolute waste if social distancing measures remain in place for several months. Caris de Villiers, a landlady of the Ram Inn and several other bars in southwest London, says they have an inventory of barreled beer worth about £10,000 that could just go bad in the cellars. We could do takeaways, she says, but that would mean selling beer on the corner of a very small pavement, and that wouldn't be socially responsible, with the need for people to keep their distance from one another. She adds, the whole situation is heartbreaking. Our brewer literally talks to his tanks when he's at work every day. People really care about the beer they're making. It is a craft, and people are passionate about it. Here's hoping the pubs can soldier through the crisis, can open soon, and that life can return one day to normal. As a matter of fact, pub owners, when we all get through this thing, the first round's on me. That's all for now. We've been asking you to chime in with suggestions for stories you think your fellow listeners should know about, for bad dad jokes, or your personal experiences with COVID-19. Let us know what's going on. Go ahead and tag us, #StrangeDaily, on Twitter. Here's what some of your fellow listeners had to say. Maria Edlund writes to shout out a novel approach to exploring the great outdoors vicariously, saying, "Slow TV at its best. Swedish television is live streaming from different locations in nature for a couple of weeks, waiting for the annual moose migration. It might happen today. It might happen next week. You'll just have to wait and see." #StrangeDaily. Thanks so much, Maria. Let us know what happens with the moose. Everyone else, we look forward to hearing from you. You can also find me directly at Ben Bolin on Twitter or at Ben Bolin on Instagram. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Dylan Fagan, our research associate, Sam Teagarden, and thanks to you. I'm Ben Bolin. We'll see you tomorrow. And until then, stay strange.